Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Here at Guitar Nerds, we're massive fans of StringJoy guitar strings, and you should be too. StringJoy, if you don't know, are the world's first true string custom shop. That's where they started, with the idea to offer extremely high quality strings in all the funny gauges that you could possibly need. Shredders looking for a thicker bottom end, country players looking for extra twang, etc. But what they've become is something much more. StringJoy realized that the standard that us players accept for string quality is pretty low. Manufacturers have been building cheaply and quickly for years, and we've just accepted that as par for the course. And most of us probably didn't really know any better. So StringJoy moved into actual standard string gauge manufacture too, offering the same superior quality, craftsmanship and attention to detail that they do with their custom sets. Their whole thing is to be the best, not just to make the most. So I think they're well worth your time and interest. StringJoy strings are available at stringjoy.com and at 400 plus dealers across the globe. If your local store doesn't stock StringJoy yet, ask them to. Matt.
Joe.
The world tongue twister champion just got arrested.
Okay.
I hear they're going to give him a really tough sentence. And welcome, dear listener, to another exciting episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello, Mr. Joe. That was terrible. Absolutely.
Hello.
Terrible.
It was terrible. I know. I'm scraping the barrel. But the good thing is, Matt, we are still in, it's still November right now, but next week's podcast will be December, and that means I can start Christmas jokes.
Where was I the other day? And the Christmas music. Oh, that was it. I was in Screwfix, and this would have been November 19th. And they were like, oh, we've switched on the Christmas playlist.
Wow, that is early. That is early to do a Christmas playlist.
Yeah, I think all the decorations will probably start going up from Friday, right? 1st of December, and we'll see where we end up. But yeah, Christmas jokes are plenty. I think we said just before this podcast started, I have no idea where this year went.
Yeah, 2023 has gone super quickly. I have had a terrible, I am so disorganized this year. It's been absolutely horrible. My whole thing of next year, 2024, I'm going to be organized. My room is a mess. Look at the state of my room, Matt. You could see it behind me. Look at this. It's just guitars and pedals everywhere, strewn around.
Some people would say that was a dream, Joe. Some people would be like, I want that.
I need them to be organized. The problem is, the other day, I wanted to do something, and I was like, oh, yeah, I need an 8-pin MIDI to MIDI jack cable to do, you know, do some MIDI stuff. And I was like, yeah, I know I've got 5 of those somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere. But I've no idea exactly where. And that's the problem. Every time I'm like, oh, you know, it would be great to have like a Big Muff style fuzz on this. And I'm like, I definitely have lots of Big Muff style pedals. Can I find them anywhere in all the boxes? No, I cannot.
It's funny you say that, actually, because I've mentioned on the podcast, sort of moving soon, going to have a new office. And I was like, I need a workbench. So I've been looking at workbenches.
What do you mean workbench? Like a guitar tech bench?
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah. So I can actually, because at the moment I'm using a laptop stand or my desk, but obviously my desk has got a keyboard on it and, you know, a laptop and all sorts of stuff. So I'm like, oh, I need a workbench. And I'm like, what am I going to put pedals on? Like, because I had those shelves before. I think everyone uses the IKEA pedal shelves, yeah. You know, a bit like the JHS thing. And I'm like, I don't want to. The problem is the office that I'm moving to is kind of not super wide, but it's quite long. And I like to move stuff around. I'm like, as soon as you put shelves up somewhere, you've sort of, that's it. That's
yeah, you're committed.
Permanent place. Yeah. I'm committed. And I don't want to commit. So I'm thinking,
that's why I use bookcases, Matt.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe bookcases, some sort of... I mean, what I would love, I don't know if you've ever seen this, Joe. I think it was Josh Smith. He has like a... what's the name of that really famous tool company that mechanics always have?
A tool company, like Black & Decker.
Yeah, no, but it's not Black & Decker. I can't think what it's called, but they always have like the garage. No, they always have the garage workshop, the big red cabinets. I can't think what they're called. Mm-hmm. But they're like, they've got drawers in for like spanners and wrenches. And they actually fit pedals. So you could have like slide out drawers of all your pedals in. I'm like,
that sounds great.
I like the idea of having them all in drawers. So, you know, like you say, oh, I really want to put like a Big Muff on it. I could, you know, go in the drawer, but then I like having stuff on display. So yeah, I probably need some sort of cool shelving unit that I could put everything on, put some pedals on. And I've just seen someone here and they've put loads of their pedals on upside down. I'm like, why would you do that? Yeah, they've put like a Boss pedal upside down. I'm like, it stands the other way up, you know. But yeah,
how would you put the power in it? Oh, I guess it's just...
No, they're display. Just for display on a shelf. But yeah, I like the idea of maybe some cabinets.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have to think about this. We're going to, you know, I can come and help you decorate. You're going to have pink walls in your studio?
I am going to have a pink wall, for sure.
A feature wall. Nice.
A feature wall, I think so. Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to go for. But yeah,
are you going to go for wall-mounted guitars, you thinking? Are you going to use any of those Copenhagen, those lovely hangers?
I thought about it, and then I was like, again, put a guitar on the wall. I'm like, you know, not sure if I want to commit to where it's going to go on the wall. Plus, they're like plasterboard walls, and I don't like the idea of doing guitars hanging on plasterboard walls. However, I did see a kind of quirky Amazon guitar stand solution, which is a guitar stand, but rather than sitting in a row like your traditional Hercules or Fender or Stag stand, these actually go front to back and they're on like an angle, so your guitars face forwards.
This sounds like it takes up a lot of room, and what I want from a stand is to take up too much room.
I just want to display stuff in a cool way that's non-committal. And then they've actually, in the middle, they've actually got a little stand that's big enough for a little combo, like a Katana.
Oh.
That, which I thought was quite cool. So you could be
I'm into that.
You could have your amp in there and stuff. I was like,
Send me the link. Send me the link. I'll put it in the Guitar Nerds Facebook group, dear listener.
I will find it. I think I saved it to my buy later. But yeah, I think I do agree with you. It does take up a little bit more space. I'm just surprised no one else has done anything like this.
Yeah.
It just sort of seems a bit obvious. From a display point of view, everyone always goes for like quirky hangers. And I'm like, well, maybe you just want a more quirky stand.
Oh, I like this, Matt. This is nice.
this is nice. It's got a little record player on it. Oh, yeah. But you don't have to have a record player on it. You can have rack gear.
The one thing I always like about Amazon is the amount of terrible photoshopping the companies do for their displays. Because I'm pretty sure the guitars that they've put in these displays aren't actually real. And they're just like, they're just like photoshopped them in there. Because I'm like, something doesn't look right.
I will say that the actual bits that secure the guitars don't fill me with confidence. They're like little wire bits. It looks like a little wire thing. I don't trust that.
Apparently that is rubber coated, but I can't. That was the only thing that got me. To be honest, the guitar stand I would love, and I'm sure we've talked about this before, it's I can't remember the name of the guitar company now, but there is a company that makes like really nice hardwood guitar stands, but they stack on top of each other.
Oh, that's nice.
So you can have like a five-way stand, and then you can have like another five-way stand like stacked on top.
Oh, I know you mean.
Or you can get one where it's like a five-way stand, but on top is like a workbench.
Yeah, but they're so much money, and they're actually massive.
They're like you need crazy money. Yeah, crazy, crazy money.
The thing that I have is still the same. You know, the ones that are like in a case.
So
it's like a black Tolex case. No, it's actually a Stag one. Got it from Blood Red Shoes. They we were doing some shows with the Polymath Wear. Yeah, weird mix, huh? And they were like, "Oh, this is broken. We don't want it." And so I took it home. That was years ago. Years ago, over it, probably a decade ago, and now it's still here, still doing well. Still got my five guitars on it.
Yeah, 500. There's one here. It's quite neat. I'll send this. You can put this in the chat as well. Maybe our guitar group followers will have some other suggestions. But this is a hardwood one from Etsy where the neck brace comes out of the top. Don't know if I've really want to spend
£565.
Crazy.
You could get someone like Marcus Deluxe to knock this together for £200, I reckon.
Yeah. Although, what's interesting actually is they've actually Etsy full of wonderful things. There's like a little amp head stand here, which looks quite cool. Someone's made a little guitar workbench. I do like the idea of getting some racking and putting like all the amps in some sort of, you know.
Oh yeah.
But then I'm like,
yeah, you want an amp rack like Rabia has, and all the it's a YouTuber thing, isn't it? Like YouTubers love to have a wall of amp heads. That's very much
that's
their
what
vibe.
I need. That's what
you
I
want
need.
A wall of amp heads. I just don't care enough about amplifiers to want a wall of them.
Yeah, I think that's my only thing. I was like, I don't really need any more amps, but I always need more pedals.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Etsy has some crazy like custom amp stands and wooden sort of guitar stands and rack stands and stuff like that, which are actually quite cool. But you do pay through the nose for them, for sure.
Yes, indeed. I think not next week. Which you're not here for, right? But the week
I am not
after,
here next week.
The week after is the last Guitar Nerds podcast of 2023 before we move into Gear of the Year. So we're going to be doing a bit of a Christmas episode, dear listener, talking about Christmas stocking fillers. And not just stocking fillers, to be honest, probably things like this, big expensive stand things, cool things for the discerning guitarist to treat themselves to on for Christmas this year.
Oh, sounds lovely. I'm looking forward to it. Maybe I'll think of some things that I actually want myself as well.
Exactly. You should. You absolutely should. It's an excellent idea.
Well, talking about things in time for Christmas, maybe, or surprise gifts, should we talk about this vintage guitar giveaway?
Oh yes,
we are nearly there, aren't we?
We are pretty much there. I mean, this is gonna be, you're gonna be blown away, dear listener, by what's occurred now. So the vintage Pro Shop guitar giveaway, if you're not aware of this, dear listener, go back and listen to previous episodes of the Guitar Nerds podcast over the last month or more. We've been building a vintage Pro Shop guitar with you, dear listener, via polls on the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook and on the Guitar Nerds Patreon. You've been choosing different features, and we've been getting closer and closer. So each week we've been doing a new feature, and we've been getting closer and closer to having a complete idea of what this guitar should be. And then Vintage Guitars, the lovely, lovely people at Vintage Guitars, have agreed to not only build that guitar for us, but then give it to us for us to give away to you. So you could win a Vintage Pro Shop, Custom Shop Guitars. The Pro Shop stuff is so good. If you've not checked it out, vintageguitarsrus.com, or is it .co.uk? I need to check
it.
It's
Vintage Guitars R, as in the letter R.
Yeah.
us.com /collections/proshop.
Yeah, so you check it out, dear listener. Basically super affordable custom shop-ish guitars. Obviously they're still Far Eastern made, but you can basically choose your spec and get custom finishes, and the pickup options are fantastic, you know, the brands that they work with and everything else. So there's so much that you can do. It's very cool indeed. What we've got so far, so you've chosen Jazzmaster as a body shape, dear listener. We've got a Jazzmaster. Finish-wise, you chose British Racing Green. That's what we ended up with. And pickup selection-wise, you've gone for a humbucker in the bridge with a P90 in the neck. And then we've done the... I mean, I said neck. We're doing the neck, but it's really we're choosing the board, because the necks are all kind of a modern C from Vintage Guitars. So we're just choosing the board. So I gave you a choice of four last week. You could have maple with dot, maple with black block, or you could have rosewood with dot or rosewood with block. And once again, the Patreon and the Facebook have fundamentally disagreed with each other.
of course.
But it's actually created quite an interesting end result. So I what did you vote for, Matt? Or what would you have voted for had you voted?
Since 2010, Music Nomad Equipment Care has been making premium and innovative guitar care products used and trusted every day by top guitar repair shops, guitar makers, and touring techs in over 50 countries. Pro quality but affordable, Music Nomad is also the go-to for countless guitar players around the globe to help their guitars look, sound, and play their best. After 2 years of research and development, and in collaboration with top guitar repair shops, Music Nomad developed in 2021 the Keep It Simple Setup, aka KISS, and now thousands of guitar players from beginners to pros have learned how to set up their own guitar. They demystified the guitar setup process by developing innovative precision gauges and tools combined with step-by-step general guidelines anyone can follow and set up their guitar to play and sound great. With their KISS method and their gauges, you can check the vital areas of your guitar and use their toolkits to perform your own setups. They have a 24-page instructional booklet available in 7 languages, downloadable for free, and many how-to videos, both by setup tasks as well as many complete setup video tutorials for popular brands such as Fender, Gibson, Taylor, PRS, and more. Not only is it fun, but a properly set up guitar takes your playing and sound to a whole new level. Learn more at musicnomadcare.com. Their website has a very cool setup hub section where you can find everything you need to know so you can start setting up your guitar properly. Follow them on social media at musicnomadcare. Kiss your guitar with Music Nomad's Keep It Simple Setup.
Based on every, because this is the thing, I don't know if people are basing their decisions off what their favorite board is, or
yeah,
what,
or what the guitar is, yeah,
or what the guitar is. But for me, it feels like it should be rosewood,
right? Any preference on block or dot?
I would rather have dot, like clay dots. Right. I think would look cool. Go for the vintage style thing.
Okay.
Cool. I don't know. Don't know if those kind of offset guitars suit a maple board. In my humble opinion.
I'm maple dot. I'm going through a real maple phase at the moment. And so I just think, and also I'm thinking about a British Racing Green Jazzmaster with this pickup configuration. I want something to make it outlandish. And I feel like a maple neck is what would do that.
We definitely differ on that.
Well, don't worry, because it's been massively unpopular. It came third place, right, the maple neck with dot inlays on Facebook, and also third place on the Patreon. Now, on Facebook, the most popular option is a rosewood neck with block inlays, scoring a neat 39% of the vote. Rosewood with dot inlays came in after that with 28% of the vote. However, over on Patreon, rosewood neck with dot inlays won by a massive, scoring a massive 52% of the vote. Rosewood neck with block inlays came in second with only 23%. So dot inlays, massively more popular on Patreon. There you go, Matt. They're, you know, in line with you. Block inlays winning by less of a margin on Facebook. So I was like, I'm going to have to actually add all the votes together. Like, there's no, it's not clear. So I have to add them up. And it is a dead heat.
Okay.
Rosewood neck block and rosewood neck dot, rosewood board. So people were pointing that out to me. I said neck, I mean board. You know what I mean. Rosewood board with block or rosewood board with dot, dead heat. So Matt, you and I are going to break the deadlock today on the podcast, which is tricky because you've already said that you want to go dot and I want to go block. I feel like block would elevate this guitar. At least, here's my thing. If you want a rosewood dot British Racing Green Jazzmaster with a P90 in the neck and a humbucker in the bridge, the Fender Player already do that. They do it for like £600.
Okay.
I'm just saying, it's just very standard. Like British Racing Green with rosewood neck with dots on a Jazzmaster body, that's kind of a thing. That's not uncommon. Why are we doing this? Why are we bothering to build a custom shop if we're just going to go for rosewood neck with dot? Everything's rosewood neck with dot.
Yeah.
The cheapest guitars you could buy, Holly Benton's a rosewood neck with dot.
True. True. I mean, I am looking at a vintage V65 VMR Icon, which is
the vintage Jazzmaster.
The vintage Jazzmaster with that rosewood neck with the dots. I'm like, it does look very good. So I'm trying to look for an example of the Pro Shop with blocks, because my only thing is what blocks is it going to be? Is it going to be like the Gibson blocks? In that case, I just always feel that it just takes up so much.
If you look at the fretboard. If you look at the reissued series, and dear listener, you can do this as well. The reissue series V65 is available with blocks.
True.
They do that. And so you can that.
We did actually see the satin purple one at Guitar Summit, didn't we?
We did. We did, yeah.
It's spinning around on screen for me.
I don't know, Matt. I don't know.
Have I got anything with block inlays? No, even my SG has got dots.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe, Matt, maybe we can. This can help make the decision. Because this week, we're not doing any more polls, no more votes. The listeners don't get to choose anything more. They've done enough.
we're going to start again.
This week, we're deciding all the additional features. So we choose whether we're having it relict or not, how much we're having relict. We're going to choose the scratch plate. We're going to choose whether we're having matching headstock or not. Those sorts of little things, the finer features. So what do you think? I feel like dot would be great if we went for like a, you know, just the lacquered neck with the natural headstock, but block if we want to go matching headstock.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at my base six, and I think I'd have to agree that, do you know what, I've never paid much attention to it. But I agree, looking at some of the other ones I've got here, if we wanted to go very vintage, then you're probably right. Dots with a non-matching headstock, but I like the idea. Because British Racing Green is fairly uncommon for a sort of jazz master, I think we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, I like the idea of it having a matching headstock, which in that case, maybe block would help it stand out a little more.
Yeah, do you think? I mean, it would be very 60s, I guess, to go dot with a matching headstock, though, still. I don't want to talk you out of
I wish I had more vintage Fender knowledge, because I don't know when they started doing blocks.
We can throw that book out the window. We can do whatever we want here. Well, I mean, within the restrictions of block.
I do really like the dots.
Yeah.
I do really like the dots.
I'm not wedded to blocks. I'm willing to come across onto dots. I do feel like we should do matching headstock, though. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Troy Van Leeuwen Jazz Master they did, which I know was Oxblood, but that's got the blocks in it with the matching headstock. It does look very good. Because that darker colour on the headstock, it depends. In some ways, it almost depends on how dark the rosewood ends up being.
Yeah.
Because I sometimes tend to find that if it is quite dark, then the blocks do look very good. That's a tough one. It's a real tough one. Well, if it was me, I would have matching headstocks, but I'd maybe stick with the dots.
Okay. All right. I'm willing to acquiesce to that. Well,
thank you, Joe.
Okay. So we're saying British Racing Green, matching headstock, rosewood board with dots. How are you feeling about plate?
Are you going to hate me if I said tortoiseshell?
Surely there is no other answer to this question. If you're going to go green, any green, well, not the pastel greens, any dark green, it has to be a torque guard.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
I think mint green or white. Or black. Oh, I don't know. Just black on green. It just doesn't work.
No.
And tortoiseshell guard is just a classic, isn't it?
Yeah. Gold anodized. Bit too tacky.
I think it just doesn't work on that dark of a colour.
Right. Yeah.
I think if it was seafoam green or it was like sonic blue or something like that, it would probably work. But I think you're right. That colour, you kind of need tortoiseshell. It just works. It just looks good. And ultimately, whoever wins this, we want them to have a guitar that most people would enjoy the look of.
Yeah.
So if we go too rogue, it's going to be, not to say that they couldn't change it down the line, but I think we stick it to it fairly classic. I'm looking at green with anodized gold. It does not work. But tortoiseshell looks very, very good.
Okay, cool. So we're there. So also, there is an option for reverse headstock. How do you feel about reverse headstocks? Oh,
yeah, I'm into that.
You're into that? Oh, man, they are tasteless.
I don't know why that would look sort of bizarre, but maybe kind of cool. I don't know. But we don't have to put a reverse headstock on it. But what I am going to say next, Joe, might shock you.
Right.
And I think we should go, because I'm looking at loads of pictures here, I think we should go totally unreleked, unaged.
I don't, no, absolute. What is the point, Matt? No, I've got to convince you. What would the point be in going unrelict when we're demonstrating? It has to be some degree of relic. I actually think it does have to be some degree of relic.
I guess that's fair enough because we are talking about the pro shop here. Otherwise, it would be a fairly standard build for them. Although, actually, their vintage series is mainly satin, although they do other ones, don't they?
So maybe... I've sent you a little link, Matt, to one of their vintage V65 Pro Shop custom builds that they've done in the past. Their heavy distress bubblegum pink over sunburst reverse headstock.
How can you not like the reverse headstock, Joe? I think that this guitar could look like a shoegazer's dream.
I actually, looking at this, I can get behind the reverse headstock. Also, this is the guitar we should have made, dear listener. Bubblegum pink over sunburst, heavy relic, Jazzmaster, torque guard, matching headstock, reverse headstock, rosewood neck dots, rosewood board.
I think we should go relic and we should do the reverse headstock and we should do a proper vintage tint on the lacquer.
Definitely. Okay, I can get behind that. We've got to talk about.
I'm into that.
We've got to talk about. Well, we've got to choose. Do you think heavy? So they call it distress. Do you think heavy distress, light distress, medium distress? I don't know if they.
I don't even know if that exists. I think if we're going for the reverse headstock and we've got the dot inlays and the matching headstock color, seeing the example there, I think we should go for very distressed.
You think?
Okay. Yeah, I kind of like the idea of this being a bit of a kind of like, you know, thinking of like guitars with stories and the Jodo thing. And I'm just like, it would be cool if this was like, yeah, like a pawn shop find and it'd been like super used. And like I said, it's kind of like shoegaze band and, like, I don't know, I kind of like this sort of like punky aesthetic to it.
Yeah, I can get behind this. So, okay, so I've got the form open now so we can go through these specifics here. So we're definitely going gloss, right? We're not going matte. So we're going gloss, we're going distressed, but body distress level, they have a choice of light, medium, heavy, and super heavy.
Maybe we should just go heavy.
Okay.
I get feeling super heavy might be like totally crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Neck, we can choose standard. We can choose gloss, satin, distressed gloss, or distressed satin.
What do you think?
I think I'd go distressed gloss, but I understand that you might want a satin, and I'd be happy to lose the gloss as long as I got to keep the distressedness.
I think the vintage, especially if you use that sort of vintage tint lacquer, I think that would look really good on the rest of the body. So, you know, sort of as a whole piece, I think that would, to me, that would work best.
All right, distressed gloss it is. And headstock, you reckon we're going reverse, yeah?
I think we should go reverse.
I think
we should go reverse.
All right. We're going reverse. Okay. Well, let's see. We've still got to do some other things. So let's see. So pick up brand. I think we're going to stick just because, dear listener, this is, you know, it's not really a guitar for a person. We're going to go with Wilkinson because they make great pickups. And, you know, it means we're not taking the mick too much out of vintage by asking them to put bare knuckles in there. So they do a whole range like Wilkinson, bare knuckles, Seymour, Duncan, DiMarzio's, Lace, Monty's, others. Maybe, Matt, you and I need to go away and have a little look at the different types of P90s and humbuckers and make a decision on those. So we choose windings and everything like that. That doesn't have to be something we choose right now. Okay, so switching. Wise, we've got to do like switching and things like that. Are we changing anything up? Are we going to keep like a simple three-way? It is Black Friday week, and Native Instruments and Isotope Software, the plugin and audio editing software companies that keep this podcast podcasting, are doing a whole bunch of amazing Black Friday plugin deals. There are bundle deals, $30 plug-in deals, even Native Instruments Guitar Rig 7 is on a crazy discount. Check it all out at native-instruments.com and get yourself some Black Friday bargains.
I think we do that. Because I don't think they're going to do the kind of Johnny Marr four-way switch on a...
No.
Not, I think we just stick with three-way and the standard volume tone. Because I think we'd let people, you know, if they want to mod it and stuff, they can. And it'd be an easy guitar to do that.
Whereas if I was building this, I'd want to take things away, you know, and make it super simple for live use. I agree. I think this needs to be versatile as well. So...
I think we stick with fairly standard switching, and then people can mess around with it if they so please.
Okay, good idea. All right, so tailpiece vibrato. Do we go? You know, we go for something a little Gibson-y or something a little Fender-y. We go hardtail. Do we go? What do you think?
You can't go hardtail. Hardtail. No, again, you could mod it if you wanted, but I'm just thinking for people who, you know, they've got to pick the colour and the spec, and I'm like, I think out of the box you want it to be, if they've decided they want a Jazzmaster, you kind of want it out of the box to be a bit
to
like
have
a
vibrato.
So yeah. I think it's kind of having the vibrato makes sense. I think the hardtail, the problem with the hardtail is that you can never really put the vibrato on it. Yeah. I mean, you could say, okay, well, let's put a Bigsby on it, but I don't think it'd sound very good.
Okay. All right, okay, I can get behind that. I do agree, Jazzmasters look well weird when you put anything other. Although I do think when you put like the Gibson style bridge on there, it can work. But I think sometimes they
look a bit cheap. That's the only problem. Sometimes I think when they look hardtail, they just look a bit cheap.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go vibrato. We're sticking with the vibrato. All right, hardware finish. We're going chrome, gold, black, nickel. What do you think?
Well, I always like the brushed finish, the kind of nickel finish.
Okay, okay. We'll do that. I like that. I can get behind that.
Yeah, I can go with that.
We can have the hardware distressed as well. I feel like if
we should do that.
I think if we're going heavy relic, if we were going any less than heavy relic, I'd be like, no.
We could get away with it. Yeah,
but it'll look weird. It'll look weird.
Yeah, I agree. So I think we should distress that hardware.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I think those are kind of all the features. That's the full feature set here for this guitar. So we're thinking,
right?
Yeah. So that's so we're keeping the body pretty standard. We're going for with the standard Jazzmaster tailpiece, heavy relic with a relict nickel hardware. Humbucker P90, little three-way toggle, and the volume and tone controls. We're going for like a distressed gloss neck on this. This is cool. Torque guard, matching headstock, reverse headstock. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into that. I think that's going to... I wasn't sure about the British Racing Green, but then I'm like, you know, I think give it a bit of a story, give it something, give it a bit of an edge.
Yeah.
And I'm into it.
All right. Well, there we go. That's what it is. So I guess I'll put all these features down. I'll do a little video and a post on it, dear listener. I'll pop it all in writing in the Facebook group and on the Patreon as well, so you can see exactly what the final specifications are of this guitar, and I'll let Vintage Guitars know so they can get building. I don't know how long it's going to take. They said they've been inundated with pro shop orders. It's been really popular. I mean, it is, you know, custom shop stuff for like $1,000. So
yeah, it is crazy. They've sort of certainly let themselves in for, certainly opened the floodgates, I think, for that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, exactly. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm very much looking forward to seeing it. I guess we'll get to have a bit of a play and a demo before we pass it on to the lucky winner. How are we picking the winner, Joe? Have you worked, got that far yet?
I haven't had a think about how we're going to do the giveaway itself. We'll do, you know, it'll be something else, some other giveaway people have to enter. But, you know, I'm trying to think. I tell you what, so many of the companies I'm working for at the moment are doing giveaways and stuff. I'm trying to think of a new, interesting way to do a giveaway. So I haven't got there yet. Haven't thought of an idea yet, but we will do. Actually, speaking of giveaways, dear listener, we mentioned it last week, and it's on all our groups and wherever all the information's out and about. But we teamed up with Buzzing Bugs Audio Devices, a wonderful Cornwall-based effects company who I've been a big fan of their their fuzzes recently, they have just put out a lo-fi chorus, the BB-03, which is like a chorus that also has a control for like tape aging and a control for like a tight slap back as well. Cool. So it's very cool. It's kind of the Cure in a box. Really good lo-fi chorus. We're teaming up with them to give away a one-of-a-kind silver version of that pedal. You can enter, dear listener, on their Instagram. It's on our Instagram as well. The post is tagged there. So it's really easy. Like the post, follow Buzzing Bugs and Guitar Nerds, tag a friend in the comments, etc. You've got until the 8th of December for this one. But I can't stress enough how much I loved this pedal. Go back to last week's episode and you can hear an in-depth demo on it. Also, there's a video demo of me making some noises with it. On the Instagram, on Guitar Nerds on Instagram. So do check it out, dear listener. It's very good. So win yourself something in time for Christmas.
Bloody lovely.
Bloody lovely. Yeah. Matt Knight, you were away because you were gallivanting round Europe and you went to the Leviathan of European guitar shopness. You went to Thomann.
I did. If any listener has been before, please do share your thoughts in the comments. I don't think many people, though, would have necessarily been because it is very far away. So Thomann is an interesting and awesome store. And I've been a couple of times, yeah, very privileged to go and also do some of their events that they've done there. But it is the nearest airport is Frankfurt Airport, which Frankfurt is kind of in like southern Germany, not right down south, but not in the middle. And it is a near 2.5 to 3 hour drive to Thomann from the airport.
Germany is a massive place. And
Germany is huge.
It's pretty well connected as well. So for somewhere to be 3 hours away from the nearest airport, that's
yeah. Yeah, it's in a tiny village called Treppendorf. Right. So Treppendorf is kind of like what we would say in England is, I guess it's a bit like a hamlet. It's not very big. There's not that many houses. There's no shops necessarily. Right. And the reason that Thomann is there is that Hans Thomann Senior, I think it was Hans Thomann Senior, or certainly Father Thomann, basically had a repair shop, I believe a trumpet or brass repair shop in the garage of the family home. And the entrance to the store is the entrance to the family home. And everything else in that store has been built around that village. So all their warehouses, they've got like 6 ginormous warehouses. They've got their own restaurant. They've just got all of this stuff, and they've expanded and like grown the village, and there's a big car park, and they've been, I guess, slowly over time buying lots more of the village space. And from the last time I was there, they've bought the 2 houses next door to that. They're knocking those down and building even more store. But it is insane. And it's not just a guitar store. They sell everything. So they've got a brass room with there was a tuba in there that was 27 grand.
Wow.
They've got an orchestral percussion room, which is like timpanis and xylophones. They have I guess you would say like a meditation instrument room. So hundreds of singing bowls and gongs,
yes,
and all that sort of stuff.
They've got behind that.
A crazy high-end guitar room, which is separate to the rest of the guitar department. They've got a 2-floored guitar department with like 6 rooms. They've got a custom shop bass room. They've got a custom shop guitar room. They've got a normal guitar floor. They've got a amp room, a pedal room. They've got a whole floor for acoustics, a ukulele section. They've got woodwind. They've got an accordion room, which got like
an accordion room.
An accordion room. It is piano floor, drums, brand new drum department. It is just insane. But the one thing that I thought was crazy, and because they're totally geared up, a friend of mine actually was on a tour where he was part of like a show on ice type thing. And he was the band that played at the beginning, at the end, and in all the intervals.
Right.
And they actually took the whole show took like a bus journey to Toman to buy a bunch of gear, and they were saying that they quite often get like busloads of like orchestras come and they'll just be like, right, okay, we're buying all of this year's equipment. And wow,
have they heard about Toman.com, those people?
Yeah because that's the crazy thing, when you order there's these huge screens that like bring your order up. It looks like a train timetable, and it's like wait time 20 minutes, and it like flicks like the old school train timetable. But they've got a PA and dance room, which is like a full venue effectively, with a stage. And then I would say maybe 200 pairs of lights, maybe 30 or 40 different pairs of PA speakers, 30 or 40 PA desks. And you can basically plumb any desk into any set of speakers and then have a full light show as well. And they'll design the light, what it looks like when I was walking past, they've got a program that like designs the light show.
Wow.
You can be like, oh yeah, we want to do this and we need this and we've got to have these foldbacks. And they can basically build the rig and then just be like, you can test it. And then they'll be like, okay, then you can buy it. And you can get it. And because the warehouse is on site, they just pick it from the warehouse and there you go. So it's truly insane. It is, I think when I was there, one of the guys was saying they've got like 1,500 people that work there. And that includes like the people that work in the restaurant. So they have a full restaurant and there's like four or five different meals you can choose from, a sandwich bar and a coffee shop. Because if you're there, you're generally there for the day. And if you're ordering something, maybe you're waiting. And anything you see on their website, if it's in stock, it's in the warehouse. And that warehouse is a 5-minute walk up the road. it's just well worth a visit. If you're European, it's well worth a visit. I think the only store that I've heard compares to it in size and scale is Sweetwater.
Yeah.
Which is also evidently in the middle of nowhere. because I guess the land is cheap. But it was great. It was a great trip. And actually Bamberg, it's Treppendorf, where Toman is, the nearest kind of town, I guess, is a town called Bamberg, which is a UNESCO World Heritage site as well.
Oh, lovely.
And it's just this amazing, like, ancient German town. It's like really, really, really old. And they've got like a crazy cathedral there, and they're famous for, and you'll like this, Joe, smoked beer.
Smoked beer. Wow.
Smoked beer. They've been making it since the 1600s.
Right.
And it is the most bizarre tasting Moorish beer you will
really
drink.
Moorish. Oh, yes, it's generally great. Not into smoked tasted things, but
it's very good.
Okay,
it's very good. So, I would highly recommend
a big old trip to Toman. Well, it is of course Cyber Week, Matt, at the moment, and Toman are digging into that. You know, I was just having a flick through their deals on their website. Dear listener, you should check it out. They've got loads of deals going on. The Maestro, remember the Maestro pedal range? The Maestro Mariner, their tremolo, £88. It's like 25% off. I could get behind that.
That's
loads of deals on their Harley Benton stuff, obviously. All of their Harley Benton pedals are £35. And some of them are cool. Like they do this, a pedal called the Sidecar, which is like a drive on one side and an EQ on the other. So you have slider EQ and overdrive controls all in one pedal. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I think you forget, because everywhere always seems to have some sort of deal, that there are like other things happening. Yeah. And I was looking on their website earlier. It's like 7 pages of stuff.
Yeah.
Like on a deal. It's just absolutely, absolutely crazy.
Now's the time to get a neural DSP called Cortex.
I actually saw they've done a limited version for Black Friday as well, because it looks like they've done a black and gold version.
Oh,
I think I saw
very
somewhere
smart
as well.
Oh, very smart.
I always find it funny though with different colorways, because is the only reason you haven't bought a quad cortex because you hate the color? Or is it just, you know, is that going to tip you over the edge? I don't know. Maybe you've just kind of been sitting on the fence and now you've got another option.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I'm just having a look through. I mean, the Harley Bentons, the ones that keep, they're always just, I just cannot believe. Harley Benton HB35, their hollow body 335, 104, was 175. If that wasn't cheap enough, 148. 148. I think one of my favorite deals, though, which we did when we were at GAC, actually, I believe, which is buy a Taylor, get a baby Taylor.
it's crazy. It's such a crazy deal.
Yeah. But yeah, absolutely. Yes, there's some great stuff out there. Some great stuff on the old Cyber Week. But
I was
certainly from a Harley Benton perspective.
I was really looking forward to spunking a load of money on something random for Cyber Week, to be honest. And I completely messed up. Well, I didn't mess up. I just bought something. So I guess I did spend loads of money on it. I accidentally bought another Helix.
Oh yeah, didn't you buy one and then it didn't work?
Yeah, didn't work properly. Yeah, sent it back. The guy was lovely. I don't think it was his fault. I think it just got dust in it. And I looked up. I even contacted Ben Adrian at Line 6 and was like, "Can I open this?" Because it was probably just needed some contact cleaner on one of the switches. But I was like, "Can I open this up?" And he was like, "You can, but it's a big thing to do because you got to take off every single washer and screw on all of the inputs on the back to get the whole thing off." And I was just like,
the
chances of it going back together the way it's come apart seem very slim. So I opted to send it back to the man, who's very nice. But anyway, I was thinking, I want a stomp. And then I came across a very good deal on eBay on a full Helix. So got that. So that's on the way.
There we go.
That's on the way. So I kind of want a stomp. So I'll probably play this for a couple of weeks, then sell it and buy a stomp. But but it's fine.
Yeah.
Speaking of Line 6, Matty, Helix have just brought out their 3.7, the gift that just keeps giving. Ben Adrian delivering yet again.
18 another updates since launch.
That is
18 updates. That is crazy.
Unprecedented amount of user support from Ben Adrian and the team in charge of Helix for Line 6. Really great. And another really substantial. So this is what you got, dear listener. You got a whole bunch of amps. You got their I can't remember how many. Does it say anywhere just a number? I don't want to have to just list all the names. A load. I'm just going to say a load, dear listener. A load of new amps, new effects, new bass amps, things like that. Very cool. But what Ben and the team have done this time is the amplifiers are all Line 6 amps. And what I mean by that is they're not official copies. They're not saying, or even unofficial official copies. They're not saying this is a Vox AC30. They're just saying this is inspired by something. So by doing that, it means they're not spending DSP on making something absolutely accurate to an existing product. They're just making something that's inspired by something else, which means these amps are super low DSP, which is great if you have a big old effects chain or if you want to create a complicated amp effects chain. It means you're not using much of your processing power on the amps, but it's great. They do like the Line 6 Clarity, which is inspired by classic clean solid state amplifiers. Lots of clean headroom and a touch of overdrive. Great. Brilliant. The Aristocrat, I was a big fan of, inspired by rare, unobtainable boutique mid-gain black panel amps.
Oh, I wonder which one. I wonder who they're talking about.
But it sounds great. It sounds great, and it doesn't take up my whole, all the DSP. Really good. I really liked the Carillon, which is inspired by a vintage version of a popular EL84 driven tube amp with added grit and high gain settings. There were loads. The Voltage, the Kinetic, the Oblivion, the Brit 2203, which is actually just a JCM 800. But it was very, very cool. A whole range of them. And they did a couple of great bass amps as well. That aren't Line 6 versions. They did a Mandarin 200, which is their AD200, the orange AD200, a great valve bass amp, and they did a lovely silver panel Fender bassman as well, which I thought sounded excellent on bass. A whole load of cabinets, which I won't go through, and then they've also modeled the Nobel's ODR1 fantastic overdrive pedal. That's called the Prize Drive on the Line 6. One of the best things is the Noble, different company, not Nobel's, Noble Preamp DI, which is like a valve DI pedal, which cost a bucket of money, a very good bass DI. They've done that, and it's called the Regal bass DI on there. It sounds excellent. They've added a feedbacker, very useful. A Bloom.
That is very cool. That's what I was going to say. The feedbacker is very cool, because I saw a demo of that. And obviously, there isn't much on the market that's been allowed. Well, I mean, the only thing is pretty much the freak out from Digitech. And I know that I think guys like Pete Thorne had to use a separate one of those, you know, because they wanted that one effect. So to put that in here, and not only do that, but you can also change the tuning of the feedback, which is very, very,
very cool. I liked it a lot.
So I'm into that. I think that's a really nice addition. And certainly, again, a great addition that might tip you over the edge to buy one, or something very cool for you to mess around with a product you might have had for nearly 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Very cool. I did find with the feedbacker when I was using it, you have to use it carefully. I'm sure you do with any synthetic feedback creating effect pedal. I don't think this is exclusive to Line 6, but really what you want to do is just hold a chord and let it ring out. If you try and move around at all whilst there is feedback, because of course what the feedback really is an octave and some reverb, you know, creating a synthetic harmonic. So if you move around, you can hear the octave go boop, which is not ideal, but you know, that's I think that's just the nature of synthetic feedback.
It's
pedals.
Funny, one of the best natural feedbacks I've heard was on the old Boss DF2. But actually, we used to have a pedal called the FB2 Feedbacker Boost, which was discontinued very quickly, wasn't particularly popular, and now on Reverb they go for crazy money because everyone sort of realized, oh, actually maybe that was good, but it was really, really natural. And then I think Fender also made one called the Runaway Feedback Pedal at one point.
That rings a bell.
Which was, I think, is crazy. I think they go for like nearly €1,000 on Reverb, but it was like one of their huge foot pedals, and it was the same thing, and you could control the feedback by moving the pedal back and forth, but they barely made it,
right?
And then the super rare, but it's a very cool effect that's not available really anywhere outside of the Digitech Freakout, so it's cool to have that in your Helix.
Yeah, very cool. They've of course added even more creative reverbs to the pedal, which is, you know, one of the most exciting things about I think Helix. They did such a good job of emulating and just creating reverbs that the big players are releasing in individual boxes for loads of money. And Line 6 seems to do a great job of that. So they've added the dynamic bloom, so a blooming reverb, which is very cool, and the non-linear as well, which is a reverb with a variety of decay tail shapes, including multiple reverse reverb shapes. So you can choose like a linear, a logarithmic, an inverse logarithmic, a Gaussian. Like, there's loads of options for how your tails work on the reverb. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah, and I like the fact that the dynamic bloom and the non-linear, the graphic design is like modular, like Eurorack, rather than like pedals, which is quite cool.
I guess so.
But certainly adding the bloom in there, obviously going, I mean, I know they said it's original, but obviously going for maybe some of the more Strymony type stuff, but you can go from 0 to 45 seconds or even infinity on the reverb. This is the thing, right? They've released this. They've also released update for the HX1, which isn't even available yet. I don't think people have even got them yet.
Yeah.
And I still don't know why people are moaning about
The HX1.
People are like,
it might win gear of the year.
It needs to have three pedals on it because, you know, what's the point in having one effect at a time? Like, they make that. It's called the HX Stomp. And it's cheap enough. I mean, HX Stomp is...
What? I mean, there are some deals at the moment.
$499 for an HX Stomp.
I saw someone posted it in the Guitar Nerds group. It's doing it for $450 in Black Friday week. So certainly deals to be had on.
I do not understand why people were so upset about that product. It's like they make a single one, they make the three one. It's like, oh, make it double, and then it's like, well, if it's $249 that's single, it's going to be $349, and then you're only £150 away from an HX Stomp. So wouldn't you just buy the Stomp? Don't know. People are strange. But I'm looking forward to the HX one. It's got some great effects on there that I only need one at a time. I only want the feedbacker on occasionally. I only want the octave on occasionally. However, I am interested to see how the three oscillator synth effect will work on the HX1, because it is on there.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, it is on
there. Wow. So you just have to MIDI control it then. You just have to use it with a MIDI switcher.
I guess so. I haven't really. I'm sure I'll dive into it when I get it. But yeah, I was looking at the manual, and I think the only things that aren't on there are some of the. Let me have a look. I think, was some of the amp modelling not on there?
I don't think amp modelling's on there. It's the same as HX effects. So yeah. It's just the effects.
Yeah, so you've got...
But it's all the legacy stuff as well.
All the drives. You've got all of the dynamics, all of the compressors, EQs, all of the modulations, including all of the legacy models and all of the recent ones, all of the delay ones, which I'm very excited to try some of the ones that I haven't tried before. So things like the Tessellator or the ADT or the Glitch Delay or the Heliosphere, which are all Line 6 originals. And then you've got all of the synth models on there as well. So yeah, the three note generator and the four oscillator generator, including the poly pitch and the poly wham and the poly capo, which I think came in the last update, maybe. Which I think is definitely going to be a step up from what's on offer in the H9.
I think
they might be shipping next week, so I'm very excited to get that and give it a try.
Absolutely outstanding product, and just more brilliance from Helix.
I think this is a great product, so, and a good update, and again, nice to add more stuff, not so much for the HX1 users because amps aren't sort of relevant, but certainly in some of the effects in there, I think it's very good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think the Nobles DI is worth it, you know, alone.
Well, that's the great thing is that you could use that on your pedal board as a DI. I mean, you probably, there's other options, but it's on there. It gets you out of a pinch if you're recording. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I've recorded a little sample of some of the bits and bobs on Line 6 3.7 update. So we'll play that now. I'm using just a couple of the amps. I did use one thing that wasn't part of the update. I wanted a little flanger on the lead tone, but the bulk of the lead tone is the Aristocrat, so the Dumble. The bulk of it is the Dumble with the Nobles ODR1, I forgot what it was called, which is their prize drive. So that's the bulk of the lead tone, and all the other supporting guitars are the Line 6 Voltage, which is a British plexi style thing. We've just and I've used one of the weird reverbs. Their non-linear reverb is just is oscillating in the back there just to add some atmosphere. But here it is. This is how good this update sounds.
We'll be right back.
go.
Oh, I like that little bit at the end.
Yeah, that was that weird delay that I hadn't really synced up properly with anything, but or the reverb rather, I hadn't really synced up with anything. But what I just think, loads and loads of fun.
Indeed, loads of fun. Yeah, very cool. And again, the 18th update since launch, so very, very impressive.
Yeah, absolutely unbelievable. Now, dear listener, thank you very much for listening to this week's podcast. Matt and I are going to be heading over to Patreon in a minute, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where we're going to record an extra episode. You can head over there, dear listener, and you can sign up and join our community and get extra episodes every week. All the information about that is there, patreon.com/guitar nerds. We're going to be talking about, I think, the Mark Knopfler guitar auction.
Yes, we'll do a bit of that. We've also, you got something at the guitar show, which we maybe should talk about a little bit, Joe.
Yeah, we'll talk a bit about that. And I don't know, maybe the new Chase Bliss pedal, the Lossy.
We should talk a little bit about that as well. So we'll talk about that. Yeah. Sounds good. I'm in.
Exactly. It does sound good. So thank you very much once again, dear listener, for joining us for another episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much, you wonderful people. Thank you especially to our $10 top tier Patreon backers. Very soon, some of you will be receiving your goodie bags. But for now, thank you very much to Nicholas Strom, Rocket Rob Patterson, Marcus Deluxe, Suresh, Dorsonic Pickups, Rob Witherden, Chris Franklin, Anton Fryant, Russ Meehan, Barry Gresbick, Steve Davis, Daniel Walker, John Conaway, Russell Healing, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Dan Pilver, Brian Einsler, Dylan Griffiths, Mark Izao Kadawaki, Eric File, Peter Peche, Andy Manley, Joe Puttick, Blake Weiland, Phil Radomski, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Dorr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Losef, Stephen Burke, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Rob Nordvik, Scott O'Brien, and Moog Gravit.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.